Fed can just print more money out of thin air, but the government's always going to be in debt to the Fed.
There's this guy, Don Kraft. He has a beautiful quote I want to read for you. The quote is, "The world order is only parasitic, so there's no reason to fear them. We are the ones in charge, and it only takes a few people of conscience focusing on the solutions to turn problems, to turn things around." And Don unfortunately passed away, but a lot of this, I want to start pushing out this technology and information and letting people know there is a way to fight back. There really is. It's not that hard. It takes some knowledge. Just take some fucking time, sit down, do some research. There's a lot of people out there who've done a lot, spent their whole entire lives pushing things and being fighting suppression their whole entire lives.
What's up, everybody? Threw you a little curveball at the intro there, putting a quote. I've seen some shows do that in the past. I wanted to do that because we were behind a paywall. This kid said something that it seemed like he wanted everybody to hear. And he's a good guy, so I wanted to share that message. And I'm not doing this intro to plug my stuff. You guys know where to find me. The links are in the show notes. I like getting into the action quicker after, you know, going back and listening to some shows and realizing how much plugging goes on all the time. It's frustrating as a listener. So I will just say, check out his work. You know, check out the show notes for the links for this young dude that's out here trying to spread positivity and trying to run a business. You can enter the promo code DANGER over there, get 10% off on your Organite, and then I get a 10% kickback. It's kind of cool. So let's roll right into it. We had a fun conversation. This is Isaac from Organite. Enjoy the show. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another episode of Dangerous World Podcast here. Excited to talk about something that I really don't know anything about. If you listen to Upstate Unconventional, you're familiar with Nico, and he's talked about the subject quite a bit. Obviously, you as a listener, you know what we're talking about because the name of the episode, and it relates to Organite or Oregon. I'm not sure exactly what it is. Again, I'm going to learn a lot here, and I'm going to be asking a ton of questions. But I have here Isaac from Organite, based out of Oregon, doing some pretty interesting stuff, man. I've seen some of the things that you create. And I've looked a little bit into the technology, and it sounds goofy. It sounds like out of like woo-woo-y, but there's something to it. Like there really is legitimately something to it. So as someone that doesn't really get into like the new age stuff and like I said, the woo-woo-y type things, I have an open mind with this, man. And I know a lot of my audience will too. But I'll shut up for a little bit. I'll let you introduce yourself, you know, plug anything that you want people to know about. And then I'm excited to learn some stuff, man. So thanks for coming on, Isaac.
Yeah, thank you so much. Yeah, my name is Isaac Lazell. I started this business called Organite in the last 9 months or so. And I have slowly been researching more and more into this technology known as Orgone Energy. At least in the last 100 years, that's what it's been known as. The thing is Orgone energy, which is the energy that is powering all of the universe, but it is also set into two specific type of energies. You have positive Orgone energy, and then you have deadly Orgone radiation. And these two energies are also just known as like positive and negative energies in normal terms, but you break it down into like an emotional level or a different vibrational level of like bad vibes, good vibes, like all of those things are trying to describe this same scientific concept that is Orgone energy. So I've been developing this business that uses this technology called Organite. Organite, all it is it can be any shape, anything. All it has to be is a 50% mix of resin and steel or copper or any different type of metal. And different type of metals will have different effects on the type of energy that's emitted from it. But if you're on the video right here, this is an Organite pyramid that I actually got out of the batch just today. And so this is a scale model of the Pyramid of Giza. And this pyramid is emitting positive Orgone energy, and it is sucking out deadly negative Orgone energy from everything around it in the environment at all times. So it's basically like a battery that's emitting positive energy and taking negative energy away.
I've heard of people using this kind of stuff too for to counter the weather manipulation. Mm-hmm. That's going on, like, you know, all the chemtrails and things like that.
Yeah, for sure. That's also one of the many uses of organite. So the pioneer of orgone energy, the guy who coined the name was named Dr. Wilhelm Reich.
I looked into him today, man. Yeah. I wanted to prepare a little bit. And yeah, he's an interesting character, man.
Yeah, he has a bunch of history, also a lot of misinformation about him. So the main thing that I want people to know is he started out as like a psychiatric therapist, and he started to develop this theory called armoring. And this theory of armoring was saying that when you're talking to a client on the who's on the table or whatever, and you're going through in a psych, if he was a therapist, so he's talking to his clients.
Sure.
While they were going through the different traumas that they were experiencing, they'd physically begin to tense up when talking about sensitive subjects. And he would note this and realize that depending on the type of thing that they're talking about, there would be armors or different blockages that were present in the body that he could physically work out with massaging or with different physical therapies to help people work that area that and bring awareness to it and get rid of those energetic blockages. And eventually he started realizing this whole entire thing was this giant cosmic energy he called orgone energy, which was the it's the energy that all organisms are made of. It's so there's a balance between positive and negative energy.
Sure.
And so he developed these orgone accumulators, which would accumulate the negative energy, and so you would be filled with positive energy instead. And his one issue with his orgone accumulators is that he would build up a bunch of negative energy, and the only thing that he had in his devices was just layers of steel and plywood in like a box. So imagine a box. And so you have layers of organic and inorganic elements. So it would be like a layer of steel wool and then a layer of plywood. And then it would stack up in this layer, and it would, the plywood would attract this negative energy in the, steel or the, no, the plywood, sorry, would attract the energy. And then the steel would like repel it, and it would create this weird, different, like vibrational thing that would pull the energy out of you. So he made these rooms and these different tower busters and cloud busters that people would stick up in the sky. And it was this same different layer of inorganic and organic elements. And you'd stick them up in the atmosphere and you'd see clouds completely disappear. And he actually brought rain back to the Death Valley in Arizona for the first time in 50 years when he spent like 3 months there.
Wow.
And it was a televised appearance and everything. And then he shortly died after that, but. Yeah,
of course, because it sounds like he had his hands on some kind of technology that
oh, totally
the powers that be didn't really want out there. So yeah, it's interesting, man. I looked into Wilhelm Reich. You say that there's some misinformation out there about him. I mean, is there? I just kind of want to hear some of the negative stuff because I barely got to look into him. But
yeah,
what's the narrative about the guy?
So the narrative is that he's a sex pervert who is all about the energy of the orgasm, and that's all he cared about in his research and tried to touch his clients and stuff and have sexual experiences. The problem is that people don't realize that he was really focused on how sexual energy and the lack of sexual, you can say sexual health in a relationship of an adult causes negativity within a relationship or within your life. You start downward spiraling if you're not having like a healthy physical relationship with your partner or something like that. His parents, he actually had a very, very sad upbringing as a child. When he was in a really large mansion type home with his mom, his father, and his brother. Growing up, he wasn't allowed to go to school. He had a tutor come in every single day. And one day when he was like 15, I think, he walked in on his mother doing it with the tutor and having an affair with the tutor. And he told his father about it, who then confronted his mother, and then her mother killed herself out of grief. And then the father, guilt-stricken with grief as well, and eventually killed himself as well.
Yeah.
And so he was, his background before going into all of this sexual or psychotherapy in his career was based on the fact that both of his parents killed themselves because he told his dad about an affair that his mom was having. And so he goes into this whole entire experience thinking, hey, this is the major type of issue that people have, which there are a multitude of different type of emotional issues people have. It's not purely sexual, in my opinion. Yeah. I think there's a lot of different things people can have going on with them. But one of the things could definitely be that sexual issue.
And it manifests in different ways, right? Like, you're not necessarily a pervert just because you have some. I think that the term you're using is sexual repression. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Well, I was saying, like, the way he used it is he actually was Wilhelm Reich, before he was brought to America, he was in Germany before it became Nazi Germany. Okay. There was a fascist movement in Germany that he was a part of. He was also an Austrian Jew, so he had to book it out of there eventually. However, he was working with this, like, a psychiatric care with Germany, helping the factory workers give them sexual, like, he would give them, like, courses and let them know, like, hey, here's how to have practice safe sex, and you can, like, actually still have some love in your life also while you're working in the factory, and you don't have to worry about having a baby, or you can do this, that, just education, sexual education. And all the factory workers would start to, like, actually have loving relationships with their significant others, and they'd realize, holy shit, I'm not going to sit in a factory my whole life and just die. I'm going to go have a family and live this fulfilling life for myself. And then the Germans all kicked him out and sent him to the US and burned all of his books. And because they wanted efficient factory workers, and he wasn't complying to that narrative.
Right.
So, yeah.
Yeah, apparently he came over to the US in 1939. I don't know if this is true, man. I'm looking at, like, some of his books that he's got. There's a few books where there's only, like, a few copies out there. This Orgone Energy Bulletin. Yeah. There's 12,189 copies supposedly out there.
Yeah.
And it goes.
So he's, he's the only person in ever in history to have his books burned by both the Germans and the Nazis, or the Germans and the United States. Oh, so after his death, right. Sorry.
They're still pretty evil over here too, our government.
Yeah. So after Reich's death, in New York City, they burned, like, I think it's like 19 tons worth of all of his material and books, and just burned them in incinerators down in Manhattan after his death. And so they tried to get rid of all of his research. They tried to just destroy everything. But there have been people, thank God, that have pioneered this research. And there's a man named James DeMeo, who lives in Ashland, Oregon, who has been pioneering this research for a long time. And he's been picking up on all of Reich's work after his death. And he's been scientifically proving all the stuff that Reich had his theories on. And he has a really good research center that's been working for 50 years or something like that.
Wow.
So, yeah.
It's interesting. Really, yeah, cool. It seems like you're in a hot spot for it. Like, a lot comes out of Oregon.
I had no idea, too. I've been just learning about all this stuff in the last year and a half. There's actually another person. So Orgone accumulators and stuff, everything we talked about with Wilhelm Reich's material.
Right.
He never invented Orgonite. Orgonite wasn't a thing with Wilhelm Reich. There was another man after Wilhelm Reich's death who used the same type of concept of technology and put the organic and inorganic layers into the pyramids or into the resin pieces, and it worked just as well, if not better, because it incorporated the quartz crystals, which transmute the energies at a much higher vibration. So it's much better for the piece to have quartz incorporated as well. But there's this couple called Don and Carol Croft, who have since passed in the last 5 years or so. And they invented the mixture of Orgonite, and they did a lot of gifting to a bunch of different places. They would go to different forest areas or urban areas. They cleaned up a lot of the smog in LA by putting a bunch of Orgonite pucks and pieces all around the area. Mm. They've done a lot of different research and actually kind of did, you could say they had etheric battles with the New World Order for the last 10 years before they died. I actually was doing research on this right now. They were poisoned multiple times by different organizations during their things.
You know, like, what organizations?
Yeah, I do. I just learned this today. I'm going to tight-lip about it, but it's a three-letter organization that starts with C.
Okay.
So, yeah, there have been battles with, you can say, Dr. Wilhelm Reich, actually, he founded a lot of the research that he was working with the three-letter organization that starts with a C as well. Yeah. And he was researching how to awaken psychic abilities and stuff using the, like, a bunch of the psychoanalytic research and also with the Orgone energies.
So, sorry, Isaac, just to be clear.
Oh, you're good.
So this mysterious three-letter agency that starts with a C, they had recruited Reich to work for them?
Yeah.
Okay.
So it was like, I think it was right after he got moved over to the US. So it was almost like a reverse Project Paperclip.
Right.
Then not, it's almost like German brought it over to the US and then the CIA took it. So,
oh, you ruined it. Now people know who we're talking about.
Oh, crap. Oh, the Sea Letter Organization. Oh, no.
So, no, I know, man. I'm just kidding. But
oh, so
I'm
no, sorry. We're fine.
I just had to get that straight. But yeah, continue with what you're saying.
Okay. So Dr. Wilhelm Reich was working on this research that once he realized what the CIA was planning on doing to it, he tried to sabotage the research, destroy it, and he left. This research later became, drumroll please, the Montauk Project.
Wow.
And the Montauk Project, a lot of people will know, is the organization Black Budget Project that the very popular TV show Stranger Things was right. based off of.
Right.
And if you do research into Organite, there's a lot of people saying, oh.
Oh, man. He might have had a power outage before we started recording. if you're watching this right now, too, you just saw him go, oh. He was cooking. He was just starting to cook right there, too. We'll see what happens here. It's a shame that, I mean, right in the middle, if my dumbass wouldn't have interrupted him, he might have gotten to the fucking part that he was trying to talk about. But, yeah, when I was looking into this Wilhelm Reich dude, very interesting guy. Now, I didn't get to mention this while he was here. I'm just going to kind of blab for a little bit to see if he's able to pop back on with his phone or something, perhaps. But, you know, he's got 12,000 copies of this book, Orgone Energy Bulletin, International Journal of Sex Economy and Orgone Research. Just under 6,300 copies are out. Emotional Plague versus Orgone Biophysics, just under 2,000 copies out. Annals of the Organ Institute, 2,976 copies. And the Orener Experiment, only 872 of these books are out there. And potentially much less, I would think. I don't know. They don't really put the dates here. But it's interesting just to see all these different books, and the topics sound like things that, you know, we would be into here. So this one, Ether, God, and the Devil, Cosmic Super Imposition. It sounds like his last book was The Sexual Revolution. Before that, The Murder of Christ. All these different really interesting topics. Isaac, sorry, dude. I don't know if you're back. I see your screen there. He's connecting to his audio. But yeah, it was pretty funny actually. So yeah, he's back. We're gonna get to hear the end of this story as soon as he pops in. But yeah, I'm looking at this guy. He was born in what's now Ukraine, highly conspiratorial. I wonder if this guy was part of any societies of any kind, right? Usually this...
hello
hey,
I'm so got... sorry.
No, you're good, dude.
Computer died.
No, I know, I saw you when it was cutting out, and the face that you made was priceless. But no, you... go ahead and pick up where you left off, man. I was just kind of talking okay. about some of the guy's books.
Oh, no worries. So we were talking about the Montauk Project. Okay. Yes. So the Wilhelm Reich had the research. He probably was, it was a lot of his the sexual health and how trauma affects the childhood and helps unlock certain psychic abilities. Orgone energy and Orgonite also has been known to, you can say, people just say it's that Orgonite helps awaken psychic abilities and stuff like that as well. Okay. So you can have an Orgonite pyramid and you can say it'll help awaken your psychic abilities. That's, they'll just say stuff like that.
Well,
I can't prove or deny it, but.
Well, and it's interesting that you say that, because it's got popular. Like when I used to talk to this girl some years ago, and she was really big into making like resin earrings and shit like that. And she put metals into them, but I don't think that she realized what it was exactly, but she was very into, like, you know, reading the moon and doing all this shit that to be honest,
sounds kind of really intuitive actually.
Yeah, like, and to me, like, I think that stuff's kind of weird, you know what I mean? To each his own, but to me, it's a little new agey and all this stuff. It didn't seem like she knew what she was doing, but it was very popularized through, you know, in the age of, like, Etsy and all these things where everyone wants to sell something. People have been just doing this without even really knowing what they're doing.
Yeah, and on that note, people have to be careful. They really have to be careful, because this technology made properly is a really good thing, but... you have to do it right. And a lot of people don't do it right. If you listen to my podcast or listen to this podcast right now, and if you just go onto Amazon and look up Organite, you're going to see a bunch of pyramids that have a bunch of stones on the bottom of it and a tiny layer of brass or copper or something like that. But Orgonite has to have 50% copper, which means it's going to look like it's completely jam-packed full, or sorry, just any metal. It has to be just jam-packed full of metal, the whole entire thing. It'll just look like a brick of metal if it's made properly. And so don't buy anything that looks super pretty that has a bunch of crystals all over it and you can't see any metal or steel or brass or any different types of stuff, because that stuff will accumulate a bunch of the negative energy and it won't properly turn it into the positive energy. So you're basically walking around with like a negative energy battery that's just shooting out negativity and everything in a metaphorical standpoint. So there's a bunch of like power in this technology. And if you do it properly, it's a really good thing. But it's like, it's just like Uncle Ben, with great power comes great responsibility. You have to know what you're doing. You have to do it right. You have to have the positive intentions. You have to not be selfish or have any different type of those kind of feelings, but you also have to have your product be made right.
Yeah. And see, that's interesting, because anytime something takes like, you know, sweeps people's attention, like in mm-hmm. such a big way, because there's yeah. tons. I mean, there's resin tables, which are really cool, right? I don't know if you've seen those. Like
my dad actually, he had a business for my whole entire life making this, probably one of the most high end custom furniture that had resin river tables and everything. And I worked for him for the last year before the business closed about a month and a half ago. So that's how I got the inspiration for all this. Yeah, it was a really sad thing how things ended, but it's all right. We're beyond it now. It manifested a business in my life that I'm able to help a lot of people with. I basically was given all of the tools, knowledge, and information on how to make Organite and resin. I made a resin-infused coffee table. Like, it's an Organite-infused coffee table that's a river table for a special friend of mine, actually, Chris Bledsoe. Wow. It's really cool.
When he was doing this, your father, was he doing mm-hmm. it because he knew of the beneficial effects, or is he like someone like
No. So it's funny. So my dad's business, he has a business called Jewel Hardwoods, because his last name used to be Jewel. His father passed away when he was two. Sad situation in the family. But in his business, he decided to say, this is Jewel Hardwoods. My name is now Lazel. Would have been Jewel.
Right.
So the business lived on. I make things, tables that have jewels inside of them. I think it's kind of funny. He no thought of that for him. He's purely a businessman. He's going to make things. He made beautiful things. Absolutely beautiful tables. And we have a conference table that we made for the LA Lakers. We have a bunch of stuff in Japan. We have stuff all over the world. In the San Francisco airport, there was a 9-foot round epoxy table that we made that's in the airport right now. That
wow.
Is ours. It was one of our.
Did you know that most vitamin D3 supplements come from sheep's wool? I'm Kat, founder of Ritual. We're making traceability the new standard for the supplement industry. When I was pregnant, I couldn't find a multivitamin I could trust, so I created my own. Ours is made traceable, third-party tested, and clean label project certified. Oh, and our vitamin D3? It comes from sustainably harvested lichen from England, not sheep. Trace for yourself with 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.
The last pieces, so.
Which airport? The LA airport?
San Francisco airport.
San Francisco, okay. Wow, yeah. Man, that's interesting. So, yeah, obviously it was like a kind of a, you know, seemed like it's destiny almost for you to do that.
Yeah, for sure.
That's what I'm saying is, like, you know, how you say that you can't just throw shit together basically to make any of these things just look cool. There has to be an intention. And most people don't know this, man. Like, I didn't know this. And you'd think that all these people on Etsy selling this stuff, they obviously don't know that. So, you know, stuff that
looks cool. This is high level occult hermetic knowledge that I'm working with that 99.99% of the population has no idea even exists. Well, so most of the people into
how you learn this stuff too. We'll obviously do that here in a little bit, because I want to get kind of more of the background, how you're trying to lay.
Oh, totally.
But dude, it's interesting to me. It seems like anytime with QAnon, I don't know if you're very familiar with like the whole QAnon movement and all this.
Oh, I was an info warrior in the early COVID days for a while. I'm quite aware of all that stuff.
Yeah, everybody was. If you weren't, you were like hardcore liberal. You know what I mean?
Oh, no. I mean, I ain't getting graphene oxide injected into my body.
That's what I'm saying, dude. And then, like, you're either an info warrior or you were lining up to get the freaking vaccine.
Yeah. Exactly.
But what's interesting is anytime these big movements come out, there's just such a focus to just go for it. Just make these things, you know, in the case of the Orgone, just make it. It's fun. It's positive energy. You know, it's new age. It's all this great stuff. But it sounds like it's so much deeper than that. We're going to get there, obviously. But
yeah, for sure.
Do you think that most of the stuff out there, and this isn't just to say that people have to buy your stuff only, but do you think that most of the stuff out there is doing more harm than good?
I think a lot of it really is intentionally set up. Like, everything that is mass pushed by any major corporation, if you look up anything on Google or anything on Amazon that says Orgonite, I look through everything. Nothing's real. There's not a single thing that's real. And it could be theoretical, but it's not real Orgonite. It's not going to do the same effects. I theorize it's pushing negative energy radiation into your home, and it's causing bad things to happen. A couple of my pieces actually I've made at the very beginning of my stage, they weren't real Orgonite until I figured out. It took a couple trial and error pieces to get the game down and everything, but I can tell the difference between my early pieces that, like, it's not real Orgonite compared to my pieces now that are, like, packed full of, like, monoatomic gold and, like, silver and, like, full of metal and everything. There's a big difference. And so there's a couple people that make legitimate Orgonite. There's a bunch of people. I've learned from many people, but I, like, one of the websites I just went on had a huge list of people in the U.S. Every single list I clicked on that had real Orgonite, their websites were taken down. Every single website. It's like, wow. It's insane. There's actually Don and Carol Croft, who I said they passed away in the last 5 years, but their website, it's called etheric warriors.com. I urge people to look this up. Actually, I'm going to read what it says right now, because it's really important.
Etheric Warriors.
So it's worldwithoutparasites.com.
World Without Parasites. Okay.
And it says, in loving memory of Don and Carol Croft. First, I want to say thank you to Don and Carol Croft. They've passed on, but I just want to thank them for all the information that they pushed and all in the fight that they had. But this is the message. It says, the etheric war is over. As of December 2023, the remnants of the original Orgonite grid pioneered by the Crofts are being taken down. All devices have been bricked or are being deactivated. Thank you to all the useful idiots who have participated in the social engineering experiment. Don Bradley, a.k.a. CBS Work, Stu, and a bunch of other people. Full disclosure will occur someday. The operators. And as of December of 2023, that's very recent. I just found this week. I just learned about John and Carol Croft in depth this week. I learned about Wilhelm Reich a few months ago. I've had a bunch of connections with all this information, but, like, this is hardcore suppression that I've been finding that nobody knows about. Nobody knows about it. And these people have, they spent their whole entire lives pioneering and pushing for this, for the liberation of the slavery that we've been put under. Like, it's crazy. If you, like, they really wanted to help humanity. They really wanted to help people. And nobody listens. And it really just takes the population. It takes us as a people to look at this and point it out and say, hey, here's some information. Here's some technology that the powers that be are majorly suppressed. And there's a reason for it. And this could be, it's not just this. I have many things that are in my tool belt that I will tell people today that are very beneficial and can help kind of deactivate the slavery mindset that is inside of your brain. And everybody needs to realize that no matter what, even if you consider yourself to be awake, you're still under some sort of slavery in your mind. There are thousands of games that the elites are playing to control you, and you're probably falling for one of them. And you're just always have a deep level of introspection and say, hey, I am probably wrong about something. I am wrong about something. I'm going to be wrong about something, and always have that level of, like, I always want to grow and learn more and realize the more you do know, the more you truly don't know. You really don't know what's beyond this. What is this? Oh, this unlocks a million other questions that I now have. So
now with this message here, I mean, it sounds like it's caring in loving memory of Don and Carol Croft. but it's signed out by the operators. And that's what CIA assets call themselves.
So I asked my Bing ChatGPT assistant who the operators were that were mentioned in this website right here. And they said that the operators were a group of people that also were working with Don and Carol Croft to help push this these different technologies that they were talking about and experiencing. Yeah. One thing I want to say is that Don and Carol made a bunch of claims that technically I don't know if you could, the FDA would clear. I'm not a doctor. None of this organite technology. It's not going to, I can't say it can physically heal you from anything. I'll help work on spiritual things that you can work through and help with. And I believe that if you work through spiritual problems, you'll have physical benefits as well. That's all I'm going to say. I'm not a doctor. I don't dispense medical advice before we go any further, but yes.
Okay. Yeah, no, I mean, yeah, we probably should have led with that, right?
Should have said that right away. But
I'll say that at the beginning of the episode, too. But okay, yeah, I mean, it just seems like this is, you know, it seems on the surface, it seems like a genuine message. You know, thank you to all the useful idiots. That seems kind of strange to say.
I know. That was the one thing that caught my eye. And I was like, it made me think, is there a deeper level to this game that we're playing that we don't know? And I think I have a bunch of things. I mentioned Chris Bledsoe. I want to talk about him. Have you ever heard of Chris Bledsoe before?
It sounds familiar, man, but that Bledsoe last name sounds familiar, I think, more so.
Yeah, so Christopher Bledsoe in 2007 had experiences with these angels and beings of light that appeared to him, and how there are these orbs of light that have come to him. And since his original experience, he's had thousands and thousands and thousands of experiences with these orbs on a nightly basis that he's recorded and he's taken videos of. There have been a lot of messages that these beings, I consider them angels. The main spirit angel that he communicates with is the Holy Spirit. He has it's a relationship with the angelic realm and the higher dimensional realm. But they have a message that the beings are appearing and they're going to begin to appear to the public to start awakening people and realizing, hey, there's this higher level of truth in this that is being pushed and is being suppressed by the powers that be. And if we lead with love and freedom and truth, love will win and we will gain back control of this game. Whatever life is. And it's actually was a statement. I might butcher this, but the being angel, she called herself the Holy Spirit, or she also says that she was known by the name Hathor in Egyptian mythology. I digress. Sorry. Said that when the star Sirius aligns with the gaze of the feet of the Sphinx, we will enter a new knowledge. And there's a NASA scientist that did research and tried to figure out what that time is, and that that date would occur in Easter of, I think, 2027. Okay. And so there's all of this information and knowledge that's been coming out in the last year. There's been a lot of, you could call it Project Bluebeam alien disclosure. A lot of it's a load of bullshit. And it's just psyops trying to distract from this higher spiritual truth and all of these, realizing there's angels and beings of light all around you at all times. And you have to just be aware of it, acknowledge it. That we're looking to the farthest edges of the galaxy for life when you don't realize there's trillions of life forms all around you at all times that you just don't realize are there.
Yeah, man, you said so much right there. I gotta ask you, like, where do you stand on this, you know, Miami alien thing? Do you think that's just the latest?
Oh man,
bullshit. Like I do.
The jellyfish. I don't know anything that is actually given news coverage and is being pushed. Anything that somebody can see on Instagram on a reel that's being pushed to their phone is controlled opposition. And I don't know what it is they're trying to do, but I know for a fact that there's a lot of information that they're holding back on. Every single government organization in the world has studied Christopher Bledsoe and these light beings and have been super, super into them. But nobody's publicly disclosed it. It gets laughed at publicly and nobody talks about it. Right. But you want to throw these jellyfish weird things on the internet and push them for everybody? I don't know what that is. That could probably be a drone. You know how easy the Disney Corporation could build something like that and put it inside of Disneyland? Super easy.
Well, then
we have so many technologies.
They can team up. I mean, the trillions of dollars that could be used to just fuck with our heads.
Yeah.
Out there. And you said something, Isaac, that I want to. I'm going to share this video. I'm going to not put any volume on there, but I want to read what's going on here because you mentioned like these. Let's say we're in the third or fourth dimension. I don't know exactly what the hell we're in. I don't know. What are we in, the fourth dimension?
I think that we all exist in one giant soup bowl of life. And if we choose to look at something at some layer, we can. I think that if you would go dimensions, if you want to look at it through that way, we exist in the third dimension, but we have the potential of experiencing the fourth dimension, which would be the level of feeling. And so the level of feeling is that level. It's almost that astral plane, that ether is kind of the fourth dimension. It's that emotional level of plane that you exist on, like your thoughts, your consciousness. That's the fourth dimension. So you do exist on the fourth dimension. Of course you do. Everybody does. All life exists on the fourth dimension. But what you're seeing out of your eyes, I'm looking at you right now on the camera. That's I'm looking at your third dimensional representation.
But that makes 2D, sense. Right? And then
it looks two dimensional right now for sure.
Okay, so let's say just for the sake of this, thing that I'm about to show you, we're living in the third dimension, and if we're talking about fourth dimensional beings or something, they would look third dimensional to us if we were able to see them. Now look at this, man. This is really, really interesting. I think you're going to kind of find this cool if you haven't seen this already. But this is basically, I'm going to read this as well. This is can you see this?
I haven't seen this.
So, yeah, I mean, it's basically, a piece of paper that they created to run through this light, and the thing moves, right? But it looks three-dimensional as it's moving. Clearly, it's a three-dimensional object. So this is an interdimensional beings theory, and it goes like this. This is just on Instagram here, but it says the interdimensional.
It's the wave.
What's that?
It's the wave.
Yeah, I mean, it's wild how it looks like the thing's walking. Yeah. But basically.
Let me continue. Yeah. You go on.
Interdimensional beings theory demonstrates how a high dimension interacts with a lower dimension. So the higher dimension in this experiment is the little thing that the guy is moving through the light. The light would be the lower dimension. The laser is analogous to a two-dimensional world, right? It's what I'm basically saying in dumber terms. The plastic piece is a three-dimensional object. The outline of the person illuminated by the laser is what the people in the 2D world would see as a 3D object moves through it. Basically, a 3D object passing through 2D would appear as a 2D object. Similarly, if a 4D object passed through our 3D world, we would see it as a 3D object. That to me is mind-blowing, man. My friend Tyson out of Canada sent this to me. We do a news show here, and that's going to be something that I want to talk about there as well. But the page sharing this is The Secret Within CP. Hopefully that's not child porn. CP. Oh, okay. CP is the guy's name. So okay. I was like, maybe we're going to have to edit this out if this is.
Yeah, hopefully not. But so the cool thing is that I was looking at that, and I was thinking you are the wave, you're that piece of paper.
Right.
But that piece of paper in our existence is a waveform that exists eternally in the now that we are always going through. And that light that you see, that flash of light, is what people see around you in that present in the 3D reality. So you're always that waveform that's passing through everything. But if that waveform gets captured, they'll see you as that three-dimensional object as you're talking about.
Yeah. So you wonder if there's, because I forget what the djinn are part of, but they say that these are like fifth dimensional beings. I think it might be the Torah. I don't know exactly. I feel bad that I don't remember, but interdimensional beings could be like what we call reptilians, because we've been told to call these things that by the conspiracy kind of gatekeepers. Who knows what these things are, man, but
so,
the liquid crystal thing and all these things kind of could fit into that.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. So everything in the world, or that everything around you, is conscious to some certain level. Even that, like the cup that you're drinking, that water right there, that water is conscious. Yeah. That screw is conscious. And the people who there, I've never bent a fork before in my life, but there are people that have, and, there's certain, I've never bent like fork bending, so you can like if you
oh
were to bend
sure
a
yeah
fork
yeah
with your mind. So like I've never done it personally, but there are people that have, and like the way you would theoretically do that is you connect with the consciousness of the fork, and then you almost go to a different dimensional level. You almost exist in the fourth dimensional level, communicating with the other thing on another dimensional level. If you could say with that, it's connecting to the consciousness. Everything around you is conscious. You're like, that's why we're able to connect with each other so much, because we're all emanating from this higher, like you could say we exist in a fourth dimensional state through our minds, third dimensional through our bodies, but like our ninth dimensional state is the fact that we're all connected to the one. We are all one conscious being that is God, that is incarnating in this world, at least in my opinion. But everything is all the same light, all energy on a certain plane, and we're all connected on, and that is what the orgone energy is theorizing, is that everything is this orgone energy, but like God exists and he like in this positive orgone energy that exists in all of us. And you could say the negativity, that negative, that duality that we always battle with, is that negative energy that also exists inside of us as well.
Interesting. So do you subject yourself, and this might be a little personal or whatever, but I feel like it always kind of gives my listeners kind of a glimpse into the way that you think. Do you believe in like the Christianity religion or I mean,
so,
where do you see yourself on that spectrum?
Okay. So I grew up, both of my grandparents were pastors of their own churches. I learned how to, basically in the name of Jesus Christ, perform miracles with other people through the church. Like I went to like church meetings my whole entire life growing up, where I saw people laying hands on other people, praying for hours and hours at a time. I saw crazy things happen because you have this whole entire room that's in a belief of the power of Jesus Christ, and all of this belief and energy is all coming through. And if you're really attached to this Holy Spirit that you spend so much time in, there's people who are not as authentic with their beliefs and their faiths. And sure. I growing up and I going through certain things, I don't necessarily agree with absolutely everything I was brought up with, but I agree with a lot of it on, especially on a much deeper level that people don't like to talk about. It's like, I think everybody's talking about the same shit. I think everybody's on the same vibe. And I stepped out of this church. I went to church every single Sunday. Every single Wednesday, I was teaching my Sunday schools for 10 years, 15 years. I was teaching kids in Sunday school, everything biblical. I spent probably half of, or probably 20% of my life in that mode. And I learned so much. I learned so much. And I started getting into conspiracies in my teenage years. And I was realizing, oh, there's a lot of bullshit. There's a lot of people who are corrupting and lying to us. And there's almost this like negative force that is behind this. And my church started to talk about the Illuminati and the negative satanic occult forces, and I was being brought up in the ministry side of it with like I'd call myself a PKK. I was a pastor's kid's kid on both sides. And so I was absorbing all of this spiritual knowledge and biblical knowledge, and then I applied my conspiracy side to it, and then I started getting into free energy. I started getting into a lot of spirit. I'd call it enhanced my spiritual outlook on life. I started incorporating other things that previously my family would consider to be not falling in line with the 66 books of the Bible. If it doesn't fall in line with the 66 books, it's heresy, it's witchcraft, demon possession. We don't touch it. I believe personally, I know for a fact that we all exist in this macrocosmic, microcosmic representation plane. We're all fractals of each other. We all exist in a fractalized universe. Your body is the same geometric mathematical proportions as the cell in your body, every cell in your body, and your body is the same mathematical proportions as the whole world is on a mathematical level, and the whole universe. Everything is a fractalized version mathematically of each other, because it's God's infinite design, his unique design, his intelligent design that he sewed into all of us, especially our life, our bodies. You have like the Fibonacci sequence and the flower of life that appears in absolutely everything. It is a divine spiritual creation that is this whole entire world that we live in, but we look at it from this scientific materialistic standpoint, and we have separation of church and state, but we also have separation of spirituality and science. And we don't connect spirit, we don't connect God to our scientific view on life,
right.
And it separates us from that source of science. There's a reason why chemistry came from alchemy, which was the pursuit of spiritual wisdom, and the knowledge that came from that was also physical knowledge about our reality. When you tapped into certain levels of yourself and realized that you are connected to everything in the universe.
Yeah, well said, man. I mean, for me, the Catholic Church, you know, I lean towards Christianity, right? I don't call myself a Christian, but I see it that way. I end my prayers in Jesus' name and all that stuff. But I feel like the Catholic Church has done a lot to divide people. And I think one of the things that they've done is create and kind of shape science. Obviously, they didn't create the science and the scientific rules, but, you know, the Big Bang Theory. And you see, like, you're either religious or you're science-based, right? And yeah, like you're saying, why can't we be both? That's a really, really good thought to, I think, throw out there. More people can lean into that. But you said one of many things that you said that jumped out. Your family wouldn't see, like, the things that you're into, the alchemy and stuff like this, as being Christian. I would agree with that, but why is that? Like, I don't agree that they are that you're doing some demonic shit. That's not what I'm saying. But why is that narrative out there that if you're messing with crystals, if you're messing with resin, if you're doing these things that are changing God's will, right? But we know it's not God's will. God's not making all of the weather on this planet anymore, right? People are engineering that and changing that. So did these people in the Catholic Church have the foresight to say that alchemy is of the devil and all this stuff is of the devil?
Well,
because they knew,
I mean, the
technology was moving in that direction?
Well, so the Vatican is the organization that has been suppressing all this technology, as they've also been aware of it and using it themselves. They've had, like, hermetic documents sealed and locked away in their vaults for the last thousands of years until they recently were released. And they you can say the Vatican's kind of an offshoot of the Roman Empire, and the Roman Empire is kind of an offshoot of, like, you go back to, like, Babylonian Empire, and the Babylonian Empire is just a rip off of, like, the dark secret occult priestly class that's been ruling over the planet for however long it's been happening. And realizing that honestly, the whole population is kind of like the positive, like, loving, everybody's trying to, like, get along. Like, if you look day-to-day life, like, ideally you're trying to just get through things, kind of have someone who loves you and be able to pour your attention into things that make you happy. But then we put a bunch of stuff on top of it, and we realized that the Vatican has been stirring a bunch of lies and deceit inside of the you can go back to, like, Constantine and the Holy Roman Emperor, and back when he did a bunch of manipulation of, like, within the Council of Nicaea. I know I'm gonna get a lot of people upset talking about this stuff, but there was a lot of manipulation, and there's a reason why there are so many different denominations that believe different things about Christianity, because it's been warped and twisted by different groups and people who think that they have the power of God because they hold this seat and have this throne and scepter or whatever. And it's a lot of it is just a big Ponzi scheme to get people to stay doing the daily routine and not breaking out of the lie. And that's the only issue I have with the Vatican, because they're aware of this knowledge. They are suppressing knowledge from the human population that they know could help break us out of this hellhole. And they are putting us in that hellhole and keeping us there. And so I don't appreciate that as a person who has this knowledge. I'm trying to share it with the whole entire universe. I'm trying to say, hey, there are so many things we can do. Let's start doing it together. And there are so many people with billions of dollars who are aware of these things and a bunch of other things I've got no idea about that could either destroy our civilization or totally heal our civilization. And every single person that's got the power to say, hey, let's push back on this, and doesn't do it, I think is just as pathetic as the person, anybody else.
So. Wow. Yeah. Well, I'd say that we start getting into some of that information that you feel comfortable sharing here.
Oh, I mean, totally.
Obviously, you know, the alchemy thing I think is very interesting. I know that we wanted to touch on the pyramids and whatnot too.
Well, it's all in the same. Okay. I'll start getting into it. If that's all right.
Absolutely.
So start out with, I like to say, you have the ancient pyramid builders and hermeticists who are coming from ancient priestly lines who are you have like you have the light and you have the dark. You have the right hand path, the left hand path, and those who are focusing on glorifying themselves, or people who are focusing on enlightening themselves, allowing themselves to, you could say ascend, but it's all about enlightening the soul. And in that, it's just clearing traumas within yourself. All it is on a spiritual, emotional level, the deepest levels of alchemy are just the best ways to make your body as light as a feather. It's to ascend. You know, you're trying to let go of the baggage that's holding you down in life. I mean, people will say, like, you're holding on to so much shit, like, that you've, even from your childhood years, mostly from your childhood years, actually, that you don't deal with, you don't actually express. And that's the whole entire thing of Organite, is I'm trying to get people to say, hey, here's all of this energetic blockages that are prohibiting you from being the best that you can be. And this is a time, if you look into this, it's all there. I can point you to the right article or the right thingy that explains that the Egyptians were saying, or whoever they were, the ancient land of Chem, or the whole worldwide connected trade system that was our ancient past. They were all focused on spiritual knowledge and uplifting everybody and helping people learn to love others, because that's kind of what this whole entire universe, this whole world is trying to get us to learn to do, is we're trying to learn to love ourselves again and love others as well. And so that is the most important thing behind alchemy, and the most important thing behind Christianity. It's the most important thing behind all religions, really, is that love. Religion, yeah. And that's what connects everything. And Christ says, the most important thing you can do, love God and love your neighbor. And then you love your neighbor as yourself. And those are the most important commandments. Anybody who also lies in that love, I don't care if you have a different ethnic or cultural way that you got to learn this same thing. They're all the same archetypal representations of different positive and negative energies. When you look, you could say, like, astrotheologically, everything's connected. Every religion's connected. Every the Greek, the Egyptian, the Roman, the Christianity, like, they're all, like, they're not all the same exact thing, but they're all talking, trying to teach you the same lessons. The Bible is so important and so amazing to read, because it teaches you so many lessons about how to live your life and how to let go of things and forgive others, and how to learn how to live from and think from a more enlightened perspective, a more positive perspective. Sure. That's what alchemy tries to teach, but that's also what the Bible tries to teach. That's what I would say. That's how Hermeticism, that's how alchemy and Christianity are connected, because they're trying to teach the positive values and let people know that this materialistic, selfish way of thinking about things is not the only way to do it. Every single one of us has gone through stages in our life where we have been selfish and we have been dumb motherfuckers and we have hurt people around us. And it's all because maybe we've been hurt ourselves, or we haven't had the right mindset, or we haven't been taught it before. But you can't hold on to that. You have to allow yourself to forgive yourself, and you also have to forgive others who've hurt you. Because if you don't start that level of forgiveness, and honestly, my whole business of Organite, if the whole Organite technology does nothing and it's all just a Ponzi scheme that Wilhelm Reich made, I don't believe that at all. But if my whole entire message is just to teach you, like, hey, let's practice forgiveness, let's practice loving others, that's the whole entire point of all of this. If we live on a day-to-day basis, wake up in the morning, if you wake up in the morning and look at your Organite pyramid and say, okay, I'm going to learn to love others, I'm going to try and be a better person than I was yesterday, and do that every single day, that's how we break out of this hellhole. Well, and we all do the, like, personal work.
Like, dude, like, obviously, you know, you and I, we just met formally, like, doing this call and stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know much about your particular company, but just the fact that you would even bring up Ponzi scheme, it makes me believe what you're doing is real, because someone running a fucking Ponzi scheme isn't going to bring that word up, right? And not only that, but there is something to be said about a placebo idea, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm not at all saying that what you're doing is just a placebo effect, because, dude, I came in here telling...
And I'm not saying the drug companies are doing placebo effect either, but...
It's hard to say that with, like, the opioids, right? But a lot
there's some bad stuff.
Some stuff that we can, you know, we have black and white data on. But
yeah,
with where you're coming from and with the way that you're doing things, I know nothing about this stuff, man. I know as much about this as I do about opiates and the chemistry behind that. But yeah, it seems like there is a net positive when it's done right. And people are, you know, if they wake up and they look at their pyramid, as you say, and they say, well, shit, you know, maybe I should forgive this asshole at work, or I shouldn't fight with my wife or girlfriend or husband or boyfriend, whatever the hell you got. Just go out there. If it encourages you to be positive, while also maybe, you know, sucking out some of that negative energy and, you know, feeding some of that positive energy back. I say that's a win-win, man, even if it is a placebo effect, and I'm not at all saying it is. Again, I just don't know. Now, I want to bring this list up real quick.
Go for it.
Because you mentioned some of these family – or not families, but you mentioned some of these ancient bloodlines.
Oh, I listened to your podcast on this.
Dude, what do you think about it? Because a really good – I mean, just a great listener, and I consider him a friend, even though I've never gotten to meet the guy. You know, these are interesting bloodlines because these are Italian – and Spanish. Borgia is the main Spanish one here. But it seems like what these guys are doing is kind of gatekeeping this kind of stuff that you're talking about, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah. Now, I'm just a dummy. Dude, I have no, like, I'm not an expert in anything. But this is like my wheelhouse, like these secret society bloodlines and shit like this. Mm-hmm. I love this stuff. And I'll never call myself an expert on anything. But if there was something, it is trying to connect dots between secret societies and individual people and things like that. I got to ask if Wilhelm was part of some kind of society, because I just learned about him today. Do you know if he dabbled in any of this stuff? Obviously, so alchemy, but
all of my knowledge, he has thoughts. Like, one of his books is called Ether, God, and Devil. He was very streamlined, I will say, in his research. He focused on specific things. He didn't get very woo-woo. I think that's what a lot of people didn't like, is that he didn't talk about the spirituality of it as much as he talked about the science of it. He went, so when Wilhelm Reich was taken to court by the FDA, and the way he was planning on getting out of it is he wrote a gigantic spiel, not spiel, that's not the right word, but he went a bunch of different stuff. He was trying to go to that courtroom and prove that orgone energy did exist to get him out of the court case. So he tried to make like a bulletproof plan, like, hey, here's all of the information I have, here's all the stuff that I've done. And they charged him with contempt of court and threw him into prison, and he died less than a year later in prison. And he was just like, he went to court. He wasn't going to apologize. He wasn't going to take a plea bargain. He went there on a gamble, saying, I'm going to prove to all these people that orgone energy is real and you cannot defute it. But our system, our whole entire bureaucracy, it's all so fucked up. It's all corrupted. You can't get anywhere real with any of it. I mean, he tried, and I applaud the man. I also want to give Wilhelm Reich deep respects. I want to thank him for all of the work he did and the research and the pioneering he did for me and for all of us to learn this stuff that maybe your parents or grandparents weren't ready for. But
sure. And it makes me, you know, anytime somebody is kind of, you know, slandered in the mainstream narrative, it makes me want to look into what they're doing. And it's such a shame, because even like the characters that we agree are horrible people in history, bad, bad people, like the worst people, you wonder why our horrible, corrupt government over here hated them so much. You know what I mean? Yeah. It always makes me wonder just what they're really about. That's something else to show you, man, since we haven't really gotten into the alchemy too much.
Yeah. On that note, while you're finding that, I want to mention the United States, like, the Declaration of Independence was written by Rosicrucian elites, and like, there, a lot of them were Freemasons too, but there was a lot of, like, I don't know if it was as corrupted of an organization as it is now, but like, they're like, all of the people who like wrote the Declaration of Independence and like signed and did those signings, they were all high level occultists and light Freemasons trying to pave the way for this country to, there's some people who had negative intentions, but there's a lot of people who were trying to set a place for someone like me who has this spiritual view and this knowledge to be able to have this freedom of speech and put forward these ideas. These are like, Honestly, I've had a hard time with, so there's like there's the dark occult and then there's the light occult. But the thing is there's this guy named Mark Passio. You should look into him if you haven't heard of him. He's amazing. He used to be a he was invited to become like a Satanist, and he went to like the lowest level meeting for a little bit, and then he was invited to the upper tier meeting. He realized that there was a bunch of elites that were Satanists that were ruling everything, and he learned a lot of bad stuff about it. But he got out of the organization and started speaking against it. And he said that you have all these negative dark occultists that are trying to run the whole world and trying to keep us in slavery, but you have all the light occultists who have all this knowledge and information. But every single person who is a light occultist is technically considered a de-occultist, because the word occult means hidden and knowledge. And if you're a light occultist, you want to share all this knowledge to the whole world. You want to share this knowledge to everybody to try and get us out of this. And that's the difference, is if you have that love and compassion to your brother, and your brother's every single person on this planet. Like you, your neighbor is every single person who's got your same genetics. And guess what? That's everybody. We're all connected. Even the animals and everything. Everything's connected. We just have to be more loving to creation. We have to be more loving to life. So, sorry.
No, man, it makes sense. Sorry, I got someone coming in here and
Oh, you're
talking.
good.
But yeah, dude, it's I agree with everything you said. You know, I'm still gonna be somebody that eats meat. You know, that's what I absolutely enjoy, my
Oh,
protein.
me too. Me
Yeah.
too.
But I think that there could be something said about like how we treat these animals in
Oh, for
captivity,
sure.
right? Like it's horrible. But dude, I wanted to show you this, man. So, and forgive me for some, I got a bunch of goofy things saved.
Oh,
People.
you're fine. You're fine.
This is something, and I wanted to ask you if you think that this makes sense, if this could possibly be real. Someone making a solar panel out of CDs and copper, and it looks like resin as well. It's a two-part video.
Interesting.
I won't play the volume. We can just kind of see what's going on here. A bunch of holes and a bunch of CDs, and then wrapping copper wire just around every side of it, tying it in. You kind of see what's going on here. And then
Yeah, I'm not too sure. I wish I knew. I was born in 03, so CDs were something of my really young years.
right.
I forget what CDs are made of. That would help determine what's going on with this.
Because that's the thing, like they're able to download so much data onto, like at the time, that was really cutting edge technology. You know, so they're what they're doing, they're getting a positive and you know, negative wire going in to connect all these things together, pouring resin over them, and then
This is
no
technically
waiting.
orgone, by the way. Sorry, I don't mean to cut you off.
That is orgone. Okay.
I mean, you with the copper and resin, it's not technically a proper amount of 50-50, but it would have an orgone effect, yeah.
Okay. So then we've got the part one, and then here's part two of the same thing. And yeah, I mean it'll turn on this drill. I like I said, I don't have the volume
Oh
going.
wow, that's crazy.
Yeah, so I just wonder, and yeah, I guess that you know, right after this we'll look up and see what CDs are actually made out of, but I'm assuming these are just blank CDs.
For sure.
But the amount of information that they can download and hold is quite extensive, I would say. But you can see here it's turning on lights and whatnot.
That's
But
crazy.
yeah, man, I just wonder how legit that is. I figured I'd show that to you since it's kind
I
of,
mean, I don't know. That's really cool.
well, let's see.
I have no idea. Yeah, what are CDs made of?
What are CD ROMs made of? Let's see. Can you see my screen here? Clear polycarbonate plastic. CD-ROMs are made of clear polycarbonate plastic coated with a reflective material and a protective coat of clear.
So it's basically just more epoxy, because epoxy is basically just plastic.
Okay.
So on a level, I really am interested in what energy this really is being powered by, because it kind of does feel like an orgone device. It really does. It really looks like an orgone device, with especially if you were to wrap the copper in the right way. I have a device that I can put into people's pyramids. Anybody, if they're listening and want to spend a ridiculous amount of money, I have something called a Roden coil that I put inside of a pyramid. This is a pyramid that I made for myself. It's got a Roden coil inside of it, and it's got a bunch of other really cool stuff jammed in there. But this coil is a it's wrapped in the specific way that reflects the 369 hypothesis and
Okay.
trinary code.
The
So
Tesla thing,
it's
right?
like, yeah, the Tesla thing. So it's Tesla had all of his free energy devices, and he worked a lot with like copper and with mathematics and wrapping things the right way. This Roden coil, it theoretically is able to emanate free energy. The guy who developed this, his name was Marco Roden, and he was super suppressed. I can't find a thing about him after like he released his product. But people, Marco.
Now, at the end there, you can literally hear Isaac spelling out Marco Roden for me. I'm a little slower than most. It's okay. I try hard. I try my very best. If you want to support the show and hear all these full episodes, including this one, patreon.com/dangerousworldpodcast, and check out the Organette.